Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our fourth extended worship service. I hope you were listening carefully to some of the tracks that were being played when you were outside, because they introduce one of the themes of today, which is God's faithfulness and having faith in God. So we've come into the worship area, so now our focus changes. It's no longer the coffee and chat bit, this is the worship bit. And we're going to start our worship by singing Faithful God. Faithful God, that you are with us through whatever we are going through. And we remember that we should praise you whether we're in good places or less good places. So we continue praising, singing, Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful.
Blessed be your name, the land that is plentiful, the streams of abundance. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the privilege of coming here today in freedom to worship you and to sing your praises. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. We ask that you fill our lives with the Holy Spirit and give us faith and inspire us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all that we meet, both in this place and outside. Father God, we ask these things in the name of your precious Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we sing our praises today. Amen.
To hear your words of scripture, to hear your words to our hearts, we ask that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the breath of heaven, will breathe into us as we sit and sing our last song, so that we will know you are our God. So we sit and sing.
Holy Spirit, we come. 2,500 years ago, the prophet Habakkuk said to God, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help? Are you listening? Won't you come and save us?" Sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? And God said to Habakkuk, "There's still a vision for this appointed time. It speaks of the end. It does not lie. If it seems a long time in coming, wait for it. For it will come. For the righteous live by their faith." 500 years later, Paul said to Timothy, "Hold to the love and faith that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in you." Let us pray. Lord, we come as your family this morning. We come to you, our faithful God. We come to ask your Spirit to breathe upon us. We come to ask for your word. We come to think about what faith means for us as individuals and what it means to know you and to love you and to serve you and to worship you. We come to worship, to give you thanksgiving for all your wonderful gifts, even the pouring rain. For we thank you, Lord, that you care about us and your planet and the world and the worlds that you have created. We thank you, Lord, that you are an individual to each one of us individually. And you are with us now, caring, sharing, loving. And we are part of your great family throughout the world. And so with that family, we join together and say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." We come to pray to our God. We've already heard and joined in singing about how faithful God is. And so we sing together, "Faithful God, faithful one, so unchanging." For those of you I didn't manage to meet first thing this morning, good morning. Do you know, this is really fun. It's really different, and it's so nice to have to be here for 9:30 and meeting people as they come in and chatting about the events of the day. And we've just sung a song about the Lord is my anchor. And on Friday, my son was coming back from Dublin by boat. And they were anticipating being in the eye of the hurricane that's been running itself out. So he came fully prepared. He even paid the extra to have a cabin so he could sit and be safe and secure. And as it happens, the waters were calm. Well, ish. Calm-ish. And so, he is a faithful one. Do you know Habakkuk's cry? God, where are you in all this? How many times have we said that? I heard the news on Friday and it made me ill. It scared me. It made me feel ashamed to be a man. Some of the things that people were doing to children, little girls from 7 years upwards. And I cried out, God, why? Why is this happening? How can we as a human society let it happen? And we look around and we see the situation across the world where there is violence, where there is famine, where there is drought. And we say, God, why? Why is it happening? Why don't you change it? And some of the people at the crucifixion jibed Jesus and said, ah, come on, why don't you come off the cross and prove who you are? And Habakkuk was feeling the same. This morning we come as Habakkuk with our questions, seeking answers. Habakkuk was an unidentified prophet. He lived about 2,500 years ago. It was in the time when the Chaldeans were in ascendance. He's challenging God that the righteous are suffering from violence and injustice from the wicked, and nothing seems to be happening to put it right. God's reply is to have faith. Even though it appears that nothing is happening, justice will eventually come. And the righteous will live by having faith in their God. Take it forward another 50 years, and Paul is now writing to the Romans, saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith. For faith, as it is written, and he reflects the words of Habakkuk, the righteous will live by faith. Then further on, writing to the Galatians, he says, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the one who is righteous will live by faith. Also, he says, Christ is the embodiment of the law and has already satisfied what the law demands. He came, he lived, he died, crucified, he rose again and sent the power of the Spirit. We must trust in God and have faith. It's many years ago since the Joystrings were in the Hit Parade, that group of Salvation Army musicians. I happened to know one of them because his sister was my eldest brother's first girlfriend. I thought I knew all of Joy Webb's songs, but I didn't, because this one I don't remember at all, and I don't know whether any of you will know it, but I know that you've been practicing it, and you're happy that we can sing it, so we are going to sing this hymn. When I'm feeling down and sad, nothing much to make me glad. Help me to remember you are there for me. When things seem so different and very hard to understand, help me to remember you are close to me. When no one has time for me, nothing's like it used to be, help me to remember you are still with me. When I'm crying deep inside, like I did on Friday, harder than I've ever cried, help me to remember you are loving me and everyone.
When it's played as introduction, worship group will sing verse 1 and then go straight into verse 1 with everybody.
Share a reading from the Gospel, from Luke, Jesus telling a story and asking the disciples some searching questions about faith. Do we have a reader? We do. Thank you. I wasn't sure.
The Gospel reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything that you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.' Thanks be to God."
The more I study the life of Jesus, and I'm reading a book at the moment which is called about the human Jesus, I realize that he has an ironic sense of humor when he prods people and makes people stop and think. And that's one of those situations. "Increase my faith," one of the disciples says. They all say, "Lord, increase our faith." And Jesus says, well, you do that yourself by doing what you know you should do because I love you, and then going on to do a bit more. We'll hear a little bit more how that expands when we hear what Paul had to say to Timothy, his spiritual son.
So reading from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the sound pattern of teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Thanks be to God.
In Old Testament times, it was believed that the Spirit of God dropped on certain people, Habakkuk being one, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses. But here Paul is talking about the fact that the Spirit of God is constantly with us, which strengthens our faith, which moves our faith on because of the Holy Spirit. And so we stand and pray, breathe on me, breath of God. Faith through living in the Holy Spirit. Paul's words to Timothy, hold to the love and faith that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you. With the help of the Holy Spirit living in you, you are reflected. Living in you, my apologies, missed the punctuation mark. These words are reflected in one of John Wesley's sermons concerning faith. He talked about the faith of a child of God. And who is a child of God? Well, Wesley said, a child of God is different from a servant of God. I want to focus today on the child of God. Because a child of God is one who knows God's love directly, intimately, and powerfully. One, like many of us, all of us perhaps, who've had a real meeting with the love of God and made a commitment to become one of God's children and accept God's love for us and the power of His Spirit. God's gracious demonstration of love through the life, the crucifixion and death, and resurrection of Jesus evokes faith that is characterized by trust and confidence. On the cross, Jesus said to one of the malefactors beside him, today you will be with me in paradise because you trust, because you realize that I love you and all you have to do is rely on me. I know we often feel like Habakkuk. What's happening? Why is it happening? What can we do about it? What Paul is saying to Timothy is, don't forget the basics. Don't forget that Christ died that you might live. That He rose again from the dead to remold us, remake us, redeem us all. And He gave us the Holy Spirit of God to work. Or another way, God the Holy Spirit in us. We are assured of being loved by God. And with this faith, we are filled with love for God and others. Able to live without fear and doubt. Our lives take on a different motivation than before. But of course we're human. And that means that sometimes we do fear and doubt. We're not sure. We don't really know what the right answer is. We look around the world and we think, does God really care? What can I do? Empowered by the Holy Spirit, instead of trying to please God through our own efforts, we as children of God gratefully and gladly embrace a life that God would have us live. To act boldly in using the gifts that God has given us, and our weaknesses too are used by God. I've told you this before, but for those of you who have not heard it, and it is a useful reminder, when my dad came to look after the children in the children's home, when my wife was in Switzerland visiting her mum with our children, and I was preaching at Walton on Thames, actually, and he looked after them on that Sunday evening. They all called him Opa, all called him Granddad, and he had a great time with them. On his way home, when he got to the station in Bournemouth, he got on his motorbike and he was knocked off his motorbike by a taxi driver, by a taxi, carried about 150 yards and then dropped on the road. After a year in and out of hospital, they finally decided that the only way they could solve the problem was to amputate his leg. He wrote to me and said, Graham, you are not to feel guilty that I came up to look after the children, and if I hadn't come up to look after the children, it would never have happened. And this is what he said. This is the line. Because God has used me more from my hospital bed than he ever did in the 60 years before. God uses our weaknesses as well as our strengths. Because we love, and God loves us, we often get alongside people because we know how they feel, because we've been there, and we can share that experience. With the Holy Spirit challenging, encouraging, inspiring, and empowering us to act out our faith courageously, we are children of God. To take our faith in God's love and promises into our troubled world. You see, what God was saying to Habakkuk was, have faith. Don't give up. Don't stop what you are doing because things aren't working out. Have faith and trust and believe that you are doing what I want you to do. And there will be an answer. We may not always understand it. We may not always appreciate it. But sometimes when we look back and we think of a situation where we were in despair, where we didn't know how things were going to work out, we see the finger of God being with us as we went. That doesn't denigrate real tragedies, real heart searching. It doesn't devalue them. But God is there with us, even when it seems the darkest night, the wildest storm. God is there. There is a plan. God has a plan for the salvation of each one of us and of the world. All we need to do is step out in faith. All we need to do, step out in faith. Wow, that's easy to say from here, isn't it? How do you step out in faith? Very simply, we take our faith in God's love and promises into our world. To love and serve everyone. Especially the unlovely. And that's difficult. It's difficult to do that without God's help. Because as human beings, we are revolted by some things. We feel an aversion. We feel, how can I deal with that? I remember the first time I was called to preach in prison to the men at Send, saying to the Lord, what can I say in this situation? I cannot understand how they must be, well, I understand how they must be feeling after they locked me in and slammed the door behind me. I knew what it was like to lose your freedom then. All I could do was to preach to them about the Good Shepherd who cared for his sheep, even the lost one, and went off and looked for the lost one and found the lost one at great cost. That's all I could do, to tell them that God loved them and cared for them. I will never know what effect that might have had on them. I do know the second time I went, they'd found out on the Friday that the prison was closing, being converted to a women's prison, and they were all being sent off to different prisons. They had no idea where they were going, no idea at all. Some had already gone. The congregation was slightly bigger. And there, again, we talked about God going with them. As I say, I don't know. I just hope that they found the reality of God's presence wherever they went. But it wasn't an easy thing to do. And even more difficult when it became a woman's prison and we weren't able to use the lovely chapel at Send because it was being redecorated. A very small group of Christian lady prisoners who were meeting in one corner of this huge, about this size, library. And we had this one little corner. And the thing that struck me before I had even got 3 paces into the library was that tss, tss, as I walked past various groups of ladies who had had such bad experiences with men. And I felt very small. I felt very humbled. I felt very vulnerable. What could I say? What was it that God wanted me to say? And at the end of the day, all I could preach to them about was God's love for them as individuals. And I just hope that some of those ladies who were in real distress and concern, I just hope that some of those words they picked up and they found that God loved them. I don't know. We never know. We don't know what will happen to the person who is on the street that just needs a little bit of support. We don't know what happened to the Good Samaritan. We have no idea. But we believe that God is with us in those situations, challenging as they are. It's very difficult to meet people and talk about our faith without judging. God says, judge not that you be not judged. Your job is not to judge. Your job is to get alongside and say, God loves you. God cares for you. God wants you to be with Him. And it's not easy. Talking about our faith nowadays is very, very difficult for many people. In past generations, when we didn't have all the modern media that we have, talking about things was the way of communicating. Nowadays, we tend to do it on the old, you know. And I had my eldest granddaughter, she's now 10, she's in year 6, and she's now been signed up to give hangouts. She's got a list of the family who she can send hangouts to. And I sent her one about some work that she was doing, and I got some pictures that would what she could use for her project on Switzerland. And she hung me out to say, great, awesome, thanks, THKS. But it's when you get down and take time over a cup of tea, over the garden fence, at the till in the supermarket, and you just do what you know God wants you to do in love, with compassion and care. And when the baby throws 3 tins out of the trolley, you don't say, children today. You just go and pick them up and put them back in. And it's amazing, people's reaction. Very harassed and very worried, and very feeling very embarrassed because little one is playing up. They look at you and they go, oh, thank you. And in a moment, they have peace. They have a little bit of awareness that somebody cares and somebody understands. And it's as little as that. But it's also as difficult as that. For most of us don't like to push ourselves forward in those intimate situations. We don't mind standing up out here and letting everybody know what we think and what we feel. It's very different when we're 1-to-1 or 2-to-1 or in a small group. Only God knows the inner thoughts and reasons of each one of us. And we have to reach out in our thoughts, words and actions, and share our faith verbally and practically. Words are fine, but without actions, words become meaningless. And it's the roll up your sleeves and get your hands dirty that some people find extremely difficult. Not here, not from what I gather happened yesterday. There was an awful lot of rolled up sleeves and washing up and work being done. And we're going to hear a bit later on whether it was a success or not. Or a measure of success, perhaps. How do you measure success in that way? We may never know what somebody's taken away with them apart from the cakes or whatever it is. To reach out in our thoughts, words, and actions and share our faith verbally and practically. Now, I've not let you off the hook. It is many, many years since I've conducted a service where we didn't sing a Charles Wesley hymn. I'm very proud of my tradition as a Methodist, and I like to sing at least one John Wesley's hymn. We're not going to sing one today. I'm going to read it to you. Give me the faith which can remove and sink the mountain to a plain, can move the mustard seed, the plant into the sea, in another version of that story, can move the mountains into the sea. Give me that faith. Give me the childlike praying love which longs to build your house again. Your love, let it my heart o'erpower, and all my simple soul devour. I would the precious time redeem and longer live for this alone, to spend and to be spent for them who have not yet my Saviour known. Fully on these my mission prove, and only breathe to breathe your love. Wow! Only breathe to breathe your love. What a power! My talents, gifts, and graces, Lord, into your blessed hands receive, and let me live to share your word, and let me to your glory live. My every sacred moment spend in publishing the sinner's friend in words and actions. Enlarge, inflame, and fill my heart with boundless love divine. So shall I all my strength exert and love them with a zeal like yours and lead them to your open side, the sheep for whom their shepherd died. Amen. Gracious Lord, we come to confess our need of you. We come to confess that so often we try to do things in our own strength. We don't recognize that we need the power of your Holy Spirit. We don't recognize that we are actually less powerful if we don't do things with you, and sometimes negative. We know, Lord, that if we confess our sin and our faults and our failings, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And will make us new and clean. I want to share with you as a final acceptance of that wonderful gift of forgiveness and what it means, with the words, or some words, from our annual covenant service. When I talk across the various chapels and things, it's amazing how many people avoid the covenant service. Is it because of this? I am no longer my own, but yours. Your will, not mine, be done in all things. Wherever you may place me, in all that I do, and in all that I may endure, when there is work for me, and when there is none, when I am in trouble, and when I am at peace, your will be done. When I am valued, and when I am disregarded, when I find fulfillment, and when it is lacking, when I have all things, and when I have nothing, I willingly offer all I have and am to serve you as and where you choose. Glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. May be it so forever. Let this covenant we make here on earth as individuals with our Lord be fulfilled with the promises of heaven. Amen. Have faith in God, my heart. We have our prayers of intercession. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for bringing us here today, and we thank you for Graham's service, and help us to have trust and love and faith in God as we all come with our personal needs and worries and concerns. We think about all that's been in the news lately with the children being abused and the children in Madagascar who are imprisoned because of stealing vanilla pods, and they're given 5 years in prison with nothing to sleep on and no clothes and very little to eat. So we hold that up to you, Lord. We think about our government and all that is going on with the politicians here and abroad. So we ask you to help them, that we may come forward and have a resolution and a positive result in these coming weeks. The weather is turning cold now and the nights are getting longer and darker, and I know that some people suffer with that. So we just ask you to help us to keep each other warm and comfort those that are ill and may need extra help at this time of the year, and help us through the months as we prepare towards December and all that entails. So just let us spread the word of God, your servant and our master. That's all our prayers for now. Amen.
And we take a moment of silence just to bring those needs laid on our hearts for others, for ourselves, and particularly members of this congregation who may be in need of our prayers, because they're not well, or because they're away, not here. So in a few moments of silence, we bring those deep, private, personal prayers to our Lord. Lord Jesus, hear these our prayers. And take us and use us to serve you as one of your children, wherever we may be, whatever we are doing. For we ask it in your name, our loving Lord and Saviour, sister, brother, friend. Amen. I know that many of you would like to know what's happening, because mission is part of our work. And there was a bit of mission yesterday, wasn't there?
Right, well, many of you were here. I'm afraid I wasn't, but many of you were. And quite a lot of you know about the coffee morning that was held yesterday that Tarina was kind of instigated in. And it was held for the Your Sanctuary charity, which, as we heard last week, work to support, rehome, comfort those who are victims of domestic violence and their children. So it's a fantastic cause, and if nothing else, it brings to mind those needs that Graham described this morning, people who have nothing else and nowhere to go, who can be the very people we're called to reach out. Well, all the bits and pieces in various guises and all the guessings of weights and names and teddies and things happened, and the grand total so far of £381.04 was raised. However, that's changed since I was first given a figure this morning, and I understand there are still some things which you may purchase outside in the welcome area. So don't think of £381.04 as the final total. You are more than welcome to add to that, because it is a cause that most of us can barely imagine. And it does some really fantastic work for people.
Before we take our offering, I have an announcement. On a Friday evening from about 4:30, 5:00 until 7:30 at Trinity, we have a fun club. And it's run by Sue Waddington, our child worker, myself and one or two others, to serve the needs of families who don't have a lot. And we have two families who are at this moment living from hotel room to hotel room. One mum I bumped into on the station, I said, what are you here for? She said, we've been moved to Guildford for 2 days and then back again. Now, yesterday, I was asked if I would do the birthday party for one of those children, a two-year-old, who was two today. I won't get you all to do the wheels on the bus. But mum needs a lightweight buggy so that she could move little one about. If any of you know where there might be one available, we'd be quite prepared to pay a small amount or be prepared to give it. We can put it in a very real, worthy home. So if you know, please let me know at some time or contact me. I'm email and phone number in the plan, so that we can help this mum to have a little bit more freedom when she's out with little one. Thank you. And that's as much an offering as is our money. And we give to our God. Thank you. Lord Jesus, accept these our gifts, given in love. Use these amounts of money, our time, our talents, our energies, our strengths and our weaknesses to share your love with your world. Amen. And so we sing our closing hymn. Lord, you call us to your service, each in our own way. Some to caring, loving, healing. Some to preach or pray. Some to work with quiet learning, truth discerning day by day. I'm sure that there's a cup of coffee afterwards if you want it. I thought there might be, even though you might have had one before. So, and can we say a big thanks to the worship group and to the people at the back? Because without Ian, we've done incredibly well. That's not disparaging Ian in any way, shape or form. But thank you so much for your effort. And so we say together as our closing prayer, before we look at each other and say the grace, we make a commitment which says, Lord, as the disciples asked, increase our faith. Help us to see that what we have is what you have given us so far. You are calling us to serve, and as our faith is worked out in the service of others, enable it to grow quietly and steadily. Amen. And I say to you all, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And
thank you.
Being.